my friendly and helpful waitress recommended that I try the Cheesecake Factory Shrimp Scampi, which was sautéed with whole cloves of garlic, white wine, fresh basil and tomato, and served with angel hair pasta. It tasted great. However, to be honest, I would need several of these to feel full. But the shrimps were amazing. Now, let's go feed some ducks. While Lake Balboa, located just north of LA in the San Fernando Valley, is primarily inhabited by waterfowl, like ducks, geese, and swan, there are other creatures that dwell here, like Tony the squirrel, who sometimes blocks my path until I feed him, so we became friends, and now we look for each other. I call him Tony because sometimes he's rough and pushy, like an Italian gangster, so first I make sure that he gets his share. There are many other squirrels that are also brave and used to people, but Tony will follow you around and stands upright right in front of your path. Unfortunately, I don't have it on video, but I'll try to get it next time. There we go. Now we can go find the ducks. Some people have asked me why I include these intros into my presentations with peaceful music, scenic natural beauty, friendly cute animals, and food reviews. Your diet is not only what you eat, it's what you watch, what you listen to, what you read, and the people you hang around. One should be mindful of the things you put into your body emotionally, spiritually, and physically. The place where your thoughts come from is your psyche. Not your actual brain, but whatever it is that generates all of your thoughts and emotions. Psyche comes from Greek, meaning soul, mind, or spirit. Greek philosophers such as Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle understood that the soul requires nourishment, that the actual self is the soul, or invisible animating entity which occupies the physical body. I happen to also subscribe to this holistic concept, and you may not, which is why I include the option to skip these intros. That said, let's get started. There are numerous ancient orders and mystery schools since antiquity that have dealt in matters pertaining to the soul. Unlike the modern medical field that addresses the body as a physical, biological organism, these occult organizations train the initiate or adept to transcend the limitations perceived by Western medicine and to act upon his or her surroundings in a more direct way. The Order of the Green Dragon, or the Green Dragon Society, were a Japanese secret society dedicated to the mystery of the human body and of the etheric body. Mastery allowed access to greater power, apparently, as they allegedly also had powers of prophecy and were said to be able to control the elements within their bodies. In other words, they were able to generate, harness, and transmute chi, or the life force energy known in India as prana, and in some of my own books as vril. Higher level initiates had to prove themselves by forcing a seed to germinate by their willpower. General and Professor Karl Haushofer was one of only three Westerners ever to have become members of the Green Dragon Society, as well as a member of the Vril Society. It's said that Rasputin was a member of the order and that it collaborated with the Theosophical Society and Thule Society. Haushofer was a military attaché in Tokyo when he joined before World War I, and later joined the National Socialists in Germany.
The aforementioned Karl Haushofer was a master of Eastern mystical traditions who'd familiarized himself with the Zen teachings of the Japanese Society of the Green Dragon. Haushofer gained extraordinary gifts through membership of the Green Dragon Society of Japan, in which the mastery of the time organism and the control of the life forces in the human body is the central aim of ascending degrees of initiation.
The Vril Society, and later the National Socialist Party, organized expeditions to Tibet starting in 1926, ending in 1942, trying to contact the cave oracles of Tibet, or the adepts of Agartha. In 1929, some of the adepts allegedly returned to Germany with the Germans and formed lodges in Berlin. The Tibetan monks and adepts of Agartha in Germany were known as the Society of Green Men. Its foremost adept was known as the Monk of the Green Gloves, or Hands, who was renowned for his clairvoyant abilities. Hitler had audiences with him.
The mysterious Greens are then facilitating the rise of Adolf Hitler. The leader of these Tibetans was a mysterious man with the green gloves. Mr. Green Gloves is supposedly a representative of the adepts of Agartha and their king of the world. In the 20s, they joined forces to guide Herr Hitler. From the mythical subterranean realm of Agartha and its ruler, the king of the world.
Agartha is a legendary subterranean city that is said to reside somewhere in or below the Earth's crust. Shambhala, also known as Shangri-La, is sometimes said to be its capital city. The mythical paradise of Shambhala is known under many other different names as well. It's been called the Forbidden Land, the Land of White Waters, the Land of Living Fire, the Land of the Living Gods, and Hindus have known it as Aryavartha, which literally means the land or realm of the Aryans, or the land of the noble or worthy ones, as some interpret the term Aryan to denote nobility. Buddhist legends suggest that there's a race of supermen and superwomen who occasionally come to the surface to oversee the development of the surface-dwelling humanity. It's also believed that this subterranean world has millions of inhabitants, many cities, and is ruled over by a king that is believed to have given orders directly to the Dalai Lama of Tibet, who is allegedly his terrestrial representative. His messages are said to be transmitted through certain secret tunnel systems, which are understood to connect the inner world of Agartha with Tibet. In Tibet, there's a major mystical shrine called Patala, which is said by the people there to sit atop an ancient cavern and tunnel system which reaches throughout the Asian continent and possibly beyond. The entrance of this tunnel was allegedly guarded by lamas who were sworn to secrecy, but allegedly worked with the Germans as they were seen as being kin or related in some way to at least one of the inner earth civilizations. The Society of the Green Men were allegedly involved in astral contact with the Green Dragon Society and had been for several centuries. The Green Dragon Society sent 7 members to aid the Society of Green Men in Germany. The Green Men were there to help further the National Socialist cause and the projected mutation that would turn the Aryans into godmen.
The Green Dragon's origins stretched all the way back to Atlantis. Haushofer is said to have been initiated into one of the most important secret Buddhist societies and to have been sworn, if he failed in his mission, to commit suicide in accordance with the time-honored ceremonial.
The activities of the Green Men were under heavy National Socialist security. It's reported that when the Russians entered Berlin in 1945, they came across numerous bodies of Tibetans. They had all committed suicide by a knife stroke to the stomach. Some sources say the monks were in German uniform without insignia. Other sources say they were naked. Because of his failure, Haushofer killed his wife, then committed suicide himself at the end of the war, as would be expected by the Green Dragon Society. The last remnants of the Society of Green Men were allegedly eliminated in 1959 by the communists after the Chinese annexation of Tibet in the 50s. Finally got hungry again, so I decided to stop off for a quick bite. This time, carne asada steak medallions covered with sautéed peppers, onions, cilantro, and white rice. It was pretty good, but the best part, surprisingly, was the corn. It was okay, but I can't say that I would order it again. When one eats and digests their food, a sort of alchemy takes place. If you think about it, the food is converted into new cells that make up our body. So, in a sense, we literally are what we eat. In the various occult philosophies of the world, especially in the East, which used to be a massive Aryan empire, it was understood that there's also an etheric body that requires sustenance and, when properly nourished and maintained, makes seemingly supernatural abilities available to the practitioner.
One of these great elder masters is Duan Zhu Liang. He has lived most of his 90 years in Beijing. The Duan family holds a lineage for the Wu Ji style of Qi Gong, which dates back to the 8th century, as noted in this ancient tablet located in Xian. The tablet, known as Da Qin Jing Jiao, was discovered along the Silk Road and records the interactions between the Chinese and Christians traveling from the West. Master Duan, like his family, is a devout Catholic, and his unique form of Qigong encompasses the Taoist and Buddhist beliefs as well as Christian principles. Although Qigong is not a religion and requires no change in a belief system, the balance and peace one feels after doing these exercises will extend to all aspects of one's life. Master Duan, who has been studying Wu Ji, Qigong, and martial arts since he was 7 years old, is a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine who is renowned for his compassion and generosity. He typically charges 10 yuan, which is about $1 for a Qigong treatment. Master Duan incorporates acupuncture, moxibustion, and trina massage techniques with his Wu Ji Qigong. This means he uses his own Wei Qi, or emitted energy, to restore balance in his patients. It is believed that these energy imbalances lead to all illnesses and ailments. As with all great Qigong masters, the power of their balanced qi and what they collect from nature actually catalyzes and promotes healing in their patients. To build up his own qi and to maintain his health and mental balance, Master Duan practices Wu Ji Qigong for 1 hour each morning. This is followed by a strenuous kung fu workout, where this 90-year-old master routinely spars with other masters and students one-third his age. Curiously, Master Duan believes one cannot be a good fighter without being a good healer. On the battlefield, a warrior must be adept at tending to his own wounds and those of his fellow soldiers. The powerful techniques of Qigong were thus coveted as secret knowledge, since holding this information meant having the competitive edge. Master Duan believes that practicing the slow and specific moves of Qigong helps us to remember that we are all connected through a singular, infinite energy he calls Wu Ji.
By understanding the infinite energy that is always available to us, we can flow naturally with the chaotic rhythms of the universe. Try to avoid patterns and repetition, mix things up, and let Qi flow smoothly.
Master Duan says experiencing the deep and synchronized breathing of Qigong connects us to the original breath that created the universe. A true master, Duan Zhiliang, is consumed with his passion. He teaches constantly at parks around the city and has recently started teaching foreign doctors. His wife of 45 years works with him, as she is also a well-respected teacher and healer. The balance of his time is spent treating patients at one of his two simple Qigong clinics located in impoverished neighborhoods in Beijing. He chooses to share his vast knowledge with a wonderful sense of humor and joy.
What is Qi?
Qi actually are very simple, it's life force. Or we say bioelectromagnetic power. But Qi we call bio. We have electromagnetic power in the space in around us, everywhere you can have this energy, magnetic power. But we also have the bioelectromagnetic power, so the only difference is the electromagnetic power and bio. Bio means alive, a living cell can use energy. So that's what bioenergetic energy. Okay. Now, the Qigong is you use your own Qi that have intelligence and you draw the energy from outside so you have more energy to use, so-called Qigong. Because outside energy is we call random. That means they are not alignment. But we when we have bioelectromagnetic power, it's more alignment. Negative, positive, like that. But outside is negative, negative, positive, positive. They're not random. They're not alignments. But if you have good energy, you align and you move, they follow you. And they started to align negative, positive, negative, positive. Now that energy are close to you. Now you can take that Qi and you use them. And that's what the Qigong are.
Okay.
And the breathing also, when you align the energy around you, it's just like when you go to the sea, go to the ocean, go to the forest, there are more alignment energy.
And that's why we find peace.
Peace.
In
peace,
those places.
Calm, energetic, more ozone, more energy. We feel that.
Okay.
But actually, everywhere of us have energy.
Right.
This is inexhaustible energy. And that's what all the system in the world, they discover that. So in Chinese, we call Qi. In India, we call Prana. And in many systems, they have different name for that.
Okay. And what do the West call it? What do the Americans call it?
We call energy.
Energy.
Or okay. We call electromagnetic power.
Okay.
And we are electrical man. We have electricity inside us. We need that electricity to run our life. So the Tao discovered that for 1,000 years, at least written down and carved on the wall, 2,500 years, that abdominal area, mm-hmm. where you can store energy. Human is a very important bio battery that can be charged, can store and get energy.
Let's talk about things that an individual can do on their own. So for the man, he can sharpen the knife,
yes.
massage the testicles. For yeah. the woman, you have the eggs
yes.
that you can put inside the vagina, and you can do what you just said. You can
right.
stimulate the uterus. Can you talk about both of those things?
Yeah, because the whole key in the Tao practice is you have to do some practice with the sexual organ. So a major part is that the penis, when you in the Tao, we say is actually the father have the initiation the boy when they're teenagers. Talk to them,
right,
and ask them, because if they do masturbation, they can teach them how to do it.
Right.
So actually, this is also like masturbation, but tell them to control.
Right.
So you have to go to with them. You get the oil. Pull the skin.
This is sharpening the knife.
And you rub from the base penis to the gland system.
Okay.
So you do that way. Now the gland system will not that, the gland penis will not that sensitive.
Okay.
So what he's saying is that practice becomes necessary. with the goal being to learn how to eventually separate, harness, and transmute the rapidly available life force energy right before climax from the biological event that some call spilling the cup of Hermes, which is the usual end of the experience for most men, but does not have to be. So Master Montauk Chia suggests techniques to desensitize the member, which is the true reason behind the male circumcision. While some biblical scholars might mistakenly attribute circumcision to a sort of punishment used against slaves, this is false, as it's depicted as a sacred, esoteric ritual done to nobility and the priest class, as can be seen here in paintings depicting the circumcision of Christ. While this is a very controversial subject, I'm not stating any position for or against, only trying to explain it and make the argument for why it's done in esoteric circles since antiquity, as depicted on the walls of ancient Egypt.
The gland penis will not that sensitive.
Okay.
And the penis stretched longer and more better, and the blood can flow better.
And how many times do you do this?
So actually we say it's the pulling of the tendon. So one side 50, one side 50, front side, back side.
50.
So it's about 50.
So 200 times.
200 times.
A day.
If you every day get to one level, that you have it.
Okay.
The boy get to one level, it have the power.
Okay.
And the penis is strong and long, and it's not sensitive.
Not sensitive. You don't want it too sensitive.
Too sensitive.
Or you won't be able to have the multiple orgasms.
Yes, because you cannot control it.
Okay.
My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon, as well as through various other major book outlets. They make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you could do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those that are interested. I appreciate it. Thank you. Please hit the like button and subscribe for future updates. As always, I look forward to reading your comments, so please leave me your thoughts below. Please have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.